And guys, it may take a couple times before, Betsy, do me a favor. Tell me if I just do it this way. Let me see if I can get it to play and actually show on screen. Well, looks like it's going to work tonight. Okay. All right, Betsy, let me know if it's not working. Otherwise, we're going to go live. All right. We are going to take a deep dive tonight into the Fresh Start Basics. So what this is not me regurgitating everything that you learn in the No BS, guys. Go through Module 1, Fresh Start. That is the lessons of it. That's where the, like, you're going to get all the good stuff, right? This is going to be really more about the mindset behind it, like all kinds of good things. So there are only 4 basics at PNP. I joke, and yet I don't, but I joke with people all the time about how everybody keeps thinking, all right, now that I'm losing weight, where's the fifth beetle? It's like, there is no fifth beetle. There are literally 4 basics. It's always going to be, no matter what you're doing when it comes to losing weight, your 24-hour plan, that is going to make your decision ahead of time for you. Get used to it. I promise you, people who lose weight get really good at making a 24-hour plan where they think about what they're going to be eating rather than reacting to the world and relying on them making good choices, relying on stress and overwhelm to not want make them want to eat, relying on them to not be tempted when something comes. Guys, the last thing you want to do is make moment-to-moment decisions around your food. If it worked so well, you wouldn't be here. So quit hanging on to the idea that you're going to be a moment-to-moment kind of gal and get this weight off. The next is always going to be the hunger scale. The reason why I keep it simple is because if you know to only eat when you're hungry, which means sometimes you skip meals, it means sometimes everybody's eating and you're not hungry, and you stop when you're satisfied, which means you learn how to quit overfeeding your body just because it tastes good, just because it's there, just because it's offered, just because you paid for it. When you quit doing that kind of eating and you literally like, oh, wait, here I am a little hungry. Oh, okay, now I'm satisfied. When you learn how to do that and you get comfortable with it and we start like erasing all the other drama outside of that, you will have no weight problem. You will get to your natural weight. You will get to where you want to be, and you'll keep it off because you don't have a complicated system that you have to have upkeep on for the rest of your life. And then your water and your sleep. That is the 4 basics. You do those things and you're golden. So we're going to talk a little bit more deeply about what happens with the basics and why do we start with them and all that kind of stuff. So first, why do I start with them? I wanted to make sure that we talked about this first because I think it's a lot easier for you to implement basics and stuff when you really have a framework around what we're doing with it. Number one, it's because we need to keep the process simple. Weight loss doesn't need to be complicated, okay? We have to, like, I want you to think about when people study habits. In fact, I'm reading a book right now called Atomic Habits. You're going to hear me talk about it exhaustively in the upcoming weeks. When we start to form any habit, the best way for our brain to be able to put it into that unconscious state where we're not having to think about it, not having to argue with ourselves, not having to do all of that kind of stuff, is by having a process that's very easy to figure out. Your brain and all of its drama is the complicated part. The process that you use to lose your weight needs to be as easy and duplicatable and simple as possible. So that's why I have 4 basics. It's why I do not give you tons of food lists. That is not why we do a lot of math. It's not why we count calories. The reason is because people tend to not be able to lose weight the harder the process is. The 4 basics are designed to teach you how to start where you are. When we talk about habits, one of the most important things that is always like across the board, when you think about books like The Compound Effect, The Big Leap, Finish, all these different books where they talk about, like, I have a goal and I want to get there. They always talk about how you have to have really small wins that build upon each other that end up creating a big result. So I teach you to start where you are, because most of you, what you do is you look to where you want to be and you see the version of you and you try to start being her now. And I want you to start thinking about, when I start where I am, what is the easiest next possible step to get to step two? And then what is the easiest next possible step to get to step three? The hardest part of that is your brain fights you with the diet mentality. The reason why I start you off simple is because we want your diet mentality to rush on in. It can rush in while you're also feeling very deprived and restricted because you're trying to change everything on a dime, or it can rush in when you are still being able to eat when you're hungry, not when you're hangry. It can still rush in when you're being able to plan foods you actually like without having to plan and change your entire palate overnight. When you are learning how to just do, like, I'm just going to level up with some convenience foods, what I'm already eating, versus having to, like, oh my God, now I've got to be Martha Stewart and learn how to cook. Like, you get to have your diet mentality come in and be broken while the process of losing weight is kept simple. And so the other thing that the basics does is it requires you to start building the skill of patience. I'm going to tell you, you're all in a rush to lose your weight. Don't sit there and pretend like you ain't. All right, no woman that sits around going, I'm the special snowflake. I hope it takes 4 years, Corinne. Most of you are sitting there, and if you are, I think it's great. And I honestly applaud you, and I'm like, well, you're one up on the rest of us. But most of us, when we set a goal, we're in a hot fucking hurry to get there. And so when we start with the basics, what it does is it requires you to practice the skill of patience right from the beginning, because patience is a skill that you need in order to finish the entire process. It is going to take you X amount of time to lose weight. I don't care if that is, like, let's say 1 year, 6 months, or 18 months. Your brain wants to believe it's going to take a long time. I want you to learn from the get-go to be very patient with the process. Because if you're willing to practice patience and we're willing to build that skill in, then when you make mistakes, you automatically can start turning on compassion for yourself, because it won't trigger you to be impatient. Your first thought won't be, well, this has set me behind so much. Now I'm starting all over. You won't have the black and white thinking. So the basics require you to be patient. And the last thing, and this is really important, when you are losing weight, this is how I did it and how I know it's going to work for you. I start you with basics because I want to teach you slowly how to make the system as easy as possible so that you can fall in love with your system. If you love the system that you develop for you to lose weight, guess what else you're going to love? You're going to love maintenance. You're going to love how you eat. You're going to love how you do being healthy. You're going to love how you are when you get to your result. I want everybody in here that has failed a diet to think about why it failed at the very end. Most of you did not absolutely love the process. You loved a lot of the results you were getting during the process, but you didn't necessarily love the system you were using to get there. You were probably under the idea that you would be happy when you lost your weight. Guys, we're going to learn how to enjoy the process, enjoy what we're building, and enjoy what we're doing for ourselves so that when we get there, we have no reason to leave it. Now we just start looking for new goals because you've taught yourself how to change your life in a way that feels good. rather than teaching yourself how to change your weight in a way that feels bad. And now you got to figure out how to love your life. So one of the things that I wanted to cover, which comes up for everyone, what if I'm not getting it? The basics are not black and white. It is very rare. Some of you are going to start gangbusters. I'm just going to tell you, we're going to have a lot of people that are going to be like, boom, I'm getting it. I love it. Corinne, please never take PMP away. Whatever you do, don't retire. And some of you are going to be like, oh my God, I'm 3 days in and I'm fucking it up like a royal bitch. Everybody's getting it but me. Like, I'm watching the Facebook group. I must be the only one. You are not the only one. You are in the majority. Guess what people do when they're loving life and things are going great? They want to tell people. Guess what people do when they feel like shit? They hide. They don't want to be that person that's not getting it. There are plenty of you out there. I promise you, do not be alone. You are normal. If you were getting it right out the gate, I mean, I'd be proud of me, because I'd be like, oh my God, you created some magic system. You better call Oprah right now. But I expect the majority of the people to struggle. That's what I want. I want your struggles to come out fast. If we're going to be like fast at anything, give me the mistakes fast. Because when you're making mistakes, then I know you're working the plan. When you're screwing it up, then I know you're trying. Then I know you're in there applying what you're doing. That's the part we want, because through that hustle is where we get to where we want to go. But you've got to be hustling. You know, like, you're not going to like lose your weight by just sitting back and listening and hoping for shit. So when you're making mistakes, it's because you're actually in there making the attempt. And I want you to keep doing it. We're going to talk more about it in a minute. So it is very normal to feel like you're not getting it. That's just supposed to happen when you do anything new. What happens, guys, so that you understand the process, is your brain, it is searching to confirm some belief system you have. The majority of you joined with a belief system of, you can't lose weight, it's too hard for me, there's something wrong with me, I have failed every diet in the past. We all have belief systems that we've built over time, and there's nothing wrong with having belief systems. I just want you to be aware of them. When you're aware that the reason why you feel like shit is because it's probably mirroring a belief system, it's a lot easier to let go of feeling like shit over it. So your brain right now is going to be on high alert to confirm that this is hard, overwhelming, that it's not going to work, all kinds of stuff like that. So when you say you're doing your hunger scale and you eat to a 3, because yesterday you thought you had it because you ate to a 2 and you felt like Rocky, and today now you're just like, oh God, I just got knocked out in round 1. Your brain is going to think, oh, see, I told you, we can't do this. It's too hard. We should probably quit, right? It's like, no, you just need to tell yourself, that's just my brain looking for evidence of an old belief system that I'm working on releasing. So just be telling yourself, I know I'm going to be making mistakes. My process relies on all of these mistakes. That was what I was telling you earlier. Your mistakes mean you're working. If you're not making mistakes, you're either getting it, right? Or you're not working it. Here's what I don't, perfectionists, hear me loud. If you're not making mistakes, you're either doing the process, and this is the part you're getting, or you're not doing jack shit. I expect people are going to be making mistakes, because that means they're taking action. Taking action is everything. Self-defeat behaviors, they have no upside in this game, guys. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to be a hawk about this. You are going to hear me coach over and over about this all the time. But when you are beating yourself up, you need to just tell yourself, no, ma'am, my self-defeating behaviors have no upside. I don't want you pissed that they're coming in. I do not want you upset that it's happening. I do not want you wishing it away. I don't want you wasting your time in drama about your self-defeating behaviors. That's self-defeating. I want you to be like, boom, here I am telling myself I'm a fat ass that will never lose weight. That never worked in the past. What can I learn from my mistake? Moving on. We ain't got time for a pity party. I don't want you upset at the wrong shit. If you want to be upset that there's injustice in the world. Don't be upset because your brain is working like it's supposed to. You never know where the mistakes and failures of learning a new way are going to take you. This is a very important thought for all of you. Most of you automatically go to that when you are not able to follow the basics and you don't want to do your 24-hour plan, like you haven't just magically gotten some kind of weight loss dust sprinkled on you and everything is easy, you think that that day you skip your 24-hour plan or that day you overeat means that you're doom and gloom. No, your mistakes and failures, you have no idea when that is the one time you figured it out. If you got back up and you looked at it and you did the process, like I tell y'all all the time, thank fucking God that the one out of 100 diets that I kept trying worked. Like that's what we want to do. We want to make sure that we understand we don't know what's going to happen next. Except for one thing, we're either going to get up or we're going to lay down. That's all we know. But we don't know what direction getting up is going to take us. But we know one thing for sure. You lay down, you sit around in these self-defeating behaviors, you have no upside. You are destined to not win. You have cut yourself off at the knees. So here are some thoughts and powerful questions I want you guys to be thinking about. A lot of you have been asking me, ooh, about that powerful question. It's on that 24-hour plan. I'm going to give you some. That is in module 3, but I'm going to give you some very powerful thoughts and questions. And guys, I didn't think about it, but if you want, we're going to put this presentation into the video replays. If you want me to save this as a PDF so that you can print it or you can look at it on the computer, I'm more than happy to do that so you can have all this stuff, okay? Number one, how many overeats am I willing to have to reach my goal weight? I want you to think about that. Are you willing to overeat 3,000 times if that's what's required in order to lose all of your weight? That means I'm willing to get up and learn and figure out every single overeat I have, even if there's 3,000 of them. Recently, I was talking to one of my clients, Jennifer from the tribe. She lost 90 pounds. And we were at camp and I was coaching someone at our retreat camp thing. And she was saying how she stalled. She just can't seem to lose weight, blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, how many recovery worksheets have you done? Which you guys will get in module 5. And even if you haven't gotten there yet, all you need to know about a recovery worksheet is I overate. I decided to learn something from it. You can do that without a recovery worksheet. I was like, well, how many times have you, have you processed these overeats? Well, I know at least, in the last couple of months, 5 times. And I said, Jennifer, Miss 90 pounds down, how many have you done in the last few months? And she said, oh my God, probably about 100 or so, maybe more. And I looked at the other girl, which I love dearly. She's a great girl. I said, when you got that many, let's talk about this plateau. I'm like, you keep trying to learn from your overeats. You will finesse them. She has done overeats literally. She took a picture one time, posted in the tribe. She had one French fry, half eaten, in her hand and had to do a worksheet on it. You know why? Because she mindlessly grabbed it, ate half of it, and realized, oh, fuck, here I am eating off my plan. And she did a worksheet on it so she could learn about why she grabbed something. Somebody said, I wouldn't do that. And I said, yeah, and that's why she's down 90 pounds. If you wouldn't be willing to figure out why you would take a half a bite out of something to lose all your weight, you need to ask yourself, why? Why? failing ahead of time, guys, by quitting and waiting, I want you to tell yourself, it takes me nowhere. That is a powerful thought for you. When I quit, when I don't do, when I don't process and overeat, when I don't make my 24-hour plan, that's me waiting around for my results rather than me taking action to get them. It takes me nowhere when I'm doing that. I want you to think, I refuse to learn the lesson that, wait a minute. Oh, this is not a powerful thought. I think I typoed this one. I refuse not to learn the lesson this mistake teaches me. That's what I want you guys to be thinking about. I want you to refuse ignoring the lessons your mistakes teach you. I want you in it to win it with those things. I want you asking yourself, how can I grow from this? How can I grow from this game this week? How can I grow from 3 days of eating before I got hungry because I was scared that I'd get too hungry? When you make a mistake, I want you to think, this will not deter me from going on. I want you guys to be thinking, nothing deters me from going on with the basics. And then this is another one. This wasn't the way I wanted it to be, so I'm just going to keep going anyway. I know sometimes you guys want to be perfect, but you just have to tell yourself, it wasn't the way I wanted it to be this week with my food, but that I'm just going to keep going. No other choices. I'm overwhelmed and worried. I can't do all this. I want to talk to you about the law of diminishing intent. The longer you wait to take action, the less likely you are to do it. Do not wait on making your 24-hour plans. Do not wait on go getting some water. If you're thirsty, get up and get it. Don't sit there and wait around. Don't wait until you have a clear-cut answer about something you're thinking about, like, I don't know, should I change my snack or not? I want you to take action, and I want you to learn from it. Ask, and if for some reason we tell you, I would have done it this way, now you know, and you know even more because you took action, you asked, you got a different opinion. Your brain had to go through it a lot. Guess what it had to do the whole time? It was learning through action. What it wasn't doing was sitting around overwhelmed and worried about the decision. Guess what it does when it's overwhelmed and worried? Nothing. It learns nothing. Here's how we kill overwhelm. We're going to stomp it out. Overwhelm is like, we don't like it. Step one, we stop. When we feel overwhelmed, we stop. Guys, you're spiraling. And when you're overwhelmed, you start getting busy with something. I do not want you ever to get busy with food ever again because you're overwhelmed. I want you to stop and I want you to get busy asking a question. What is my goal? Ask yourself, what is my goal? Always be reminding yourself, if your goal is to lose weight, to be healthy, to be a fit grandma, whatever it is, I want you asking that question all the time. And then just a lot of times, guys, when you are overwhelmed, I find that it's because you need to be asking questions like, am I just tired right now? Like sometimes you guys just need a break. And so you give it to yourself with the food so that you feel like you're doing something. I would much rather you give yourself a break, sit down, and be butt-ass uncomfortable while you sit there. Because I'm going to tell you, that's what happens. You get overwhelmed with your thoughts of, I should be doing this. I should be doing, next I need to be doing this. And so you end up eating. I want you to see what's really playing out. You don't need to eat because you're not producing anything for yourself other than a bigger ass. You need to be like, I'm going to learn how to take a break by first not enjoying the break. And I'm going to write about all this bullshit I think about. I'd rather you spend 3 minutes doing that and be in total discomfort and not eat and learn something than to get overwhelmed, eat, and just get busy and not solve a damn thing. Step two, cut. Don't do things you don't have to do. For a lot of you, when you're getting overwhelmed with the process of P&P, it's because you're doing a bunch of shit you don't need to be doing. I'm going to tell you, it's real simple. Go to the No BS, push play on the next lesson. Do the worksheets. Period. Get out your 24-hour plan. Figure out every damn day, when am I going to do this thing? This is going to become my habit. I'm going to not want to do it, and I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to spend 5 minutes a day in this heifer. If you ain't got 5 minutes in here, then you're not interested in weight loss. You're interested in drama. You're interested in overwhelm. You're interested in making it hard. The process works. I want you to put trust in the process, and I want you to set aside self-doubt, set aside overwhelm, and set aside this other shit and listen to what I'm telling you. So the first thing you're going to do is when you feel overwhelmed, you're going to stop. You're not going to put food in your mouth. You're going to ask yourself, what do I really need right now? And then you're going to start cutting. So you're going to cut out the stuff you're thinking about that makes no sense. Like, well, there's this Facebook group with 5,000 people posting in it all the time. I'm like, hell, we only got 3,200 here. There's 16 or 17,000 in the groupies. Nobody's bitching about that one. I'm like, we're like petite over here. I don't want you in that Facebook group. You know what I want you doing? Because you don't lose weight over there. You can go over and ask your questions. You can go over and get your help. You can go over and have a good time when you're not overwhelmed. If you're in overwhelmed, the last thing you need to be doing is fucking around in the Facebook group, staring at what everybody else is doing, and belittling yourself. Now, if you're over there learning, like if you're overwhelmed, you're like, I just really don't understand the two. I'm going to search for the hunger scale and see what other people are doing. And you're solving a problem by taking action that way. Get at it. But if you're over there and using it as a way to shame yourself and to drive yourself into quitting on yourself, do not do it. Cut that shit out right now. You go to No BS. You push play. If you don't understand the hunger scale because it's confusing, guess what? You listen to the lesson like five times. Five times. Read in the workbook. Go to the replays. Look for, ooh, I need to listen to some calls on the hunger scale. That's where you take the action. You cut out the extra bullshit and you move straight into action. When you're overwhelmed, you need to do one thing. You need to ask, what is the next best decision I can make right now? Not the perfect one. What is the next best decision for me? Is it asking a question and ask coaches? Is it pushing play on a lesson? Is it making my 24-hour plan? Rather than sitting around overwhelmed about the plan, I'm going to do an imperfect one. The worst that will happen is you'll make a plan and you'll either follow it or you don't. But you will have gotten into the practice of not quitting on overwhelm, and you will have gotten in the practice of making a 24-hour plan and learning from it. Worry kills creativity. Guys, I'm going to tell you right now, I've been working on this concept with my husband. I've been playing with it in my brain. You are the first ones to get it. Worry and creativity can't exist together. When you're worried about something, you are not being creative in solving. You are manifesting worst case scenario. You're wondering the doomsday. You're doing all kinds of stuff. What you're not doing, there's a common like variable between worry and creativity. They both have a problem to solve, right? When we have a problem and we're worrying, we're not solving it. We're imagining the worst case scenario and we're driving ourselves into like a diet grave. When we have a problem and we have creativity, we're asking the good questions. We're asking ourselves, like, how can I solve this? So when you catch yourself worrying, you can drop into some really good questions. If I wasn't scared I would fail, I would do what right now? Allow your brain, these questions will let your brain bypass the fear and stuff. Like your brain will do what you tell it. So if you say with your conscious brain, you know, if we weren't scared right now, what would we be doing? And it will say, oh, we'd be doing this. Bingo, just go do that and do it scared. If I wasn't allowed to worry, what solution would I create for this problem? Just pick one. It's going to be much better for you to just pick one and get it wrong and learn something than to pick nothing and sit around worrying about it. If my best friend had this problem, what would I tell her? Like, if your bestie was sitting there with the same problem as you, what would you tell her to do? What would be the next easiest thing for her to do? What would Corinne do? Y'all, one thing you all have in common is you listen to me a lot. I don't think it's going to be really hard to figure out most of the time what I would say. Whatever that is. There you go. There's your answer. You don't need to worry. You just need to do. And am I willing to choose discomfort and doubt right now over regret? That goes back up to that solution. Are you willing to be uncomfortable and doubt what you come up with on your own works, but say, you know what? I'm going to do it. And the one thing I won't do is regret my decision. I'm just going to learn from it. I tell you guys all the time, that is the thing I teach Logan all the time. We are not going to regret our decisions. We're going to learn to make them. We're going to learn to make the best of them and go all in. And then if it doesn't go the way we think, then we're also going to learn how to assess, make a better one next time, because that's life. This is where I'm going to get into the things I want you to know about these four basics. Okay. So here's the most important things to know about your 24-hour plan. Number one, we're designing your plan so that you can love your process all the way to goal. My job is not to beat you down to your goal. That's keto and that's other places. All right. My job is to teach you how to not think like that anymore. It is to start going, I'm going to be learning how to actually enjoy this so that when it feels miserable, guys, no, that's probably you layering in your own bullshit. Raise your hand and we will help you. That is when you post and ask coaches. That's when we know if you're not enjoying the process, we have something to work on. You can plan options if you prefer. Guys, again, this is your plan. There are days that I like to I might want a Weight Watchers pizza or my salad this week. Sometimes I'm going to tell you, some days I just don't want my damn salad. That's why I like to sometimes have backups. That's fine. Guess what? When I think about the version of me in 20 years who's still keeping her weight off, you know what she's doing? She's making choices like that. She's not sitting around worried to death all the time she's going to gain her weight back. Because if that was the case, she'd end up gaining her weight back because she'd eat to alleviate herself from worry. That's what the old me did. I don't want to mirror the old me. I want to mirror the new me. You do not have to eat all you plan. If you're not hungry and you put it on the plan, guess what? Don't eat it. Moving on. If you get hungry later, eat it. And if your hunger comes back suddenly and you still have planned food, eat it. What will happen is that over time, your plans will get more refined. You will start finding your groove. In the very beginning, you may be overplanning food, and that's fine. I don't mind you overplanning food. I'd rather you overplan and be willing to skip things than to underplan because of old diet mentality and then sit around in worry and angst. If you underplan and you don't plan enough food, either make a healthy choice because you're damn hungry, easy, or note that you're hungry and tomorrow plan more food and just be like, I'm going to play with hunger today, but I'm not going to be dramatic about it. The version of me who loses all of her weight, guess what she doesn't do anymore? She doesn't indulge in bullshit drama all the time. And I want you always asking, the version of me at goal weight would tell me what right now? Whenever you have doubt or confusion about your plan, the version of you at goal weight, what is she telling you? What would her advice be? Because you don't have to have ever been thin. The version of you at your goal weight, you probably none of you have experienced before. Because this version that you're creating freaking likes what she's doing. Loves what she's doing. and I want you to refuse to regret. It's just like we talked about a minute ago. I want you to make a decision. I want you to do it. And then you assess on the back end. It either works for weight loss or it doesn't. And if it doesn't, then we decide a new thing. And then we do that and we assess again. We're in the repeated cycle of decide, do, assess. Things to know about your hunger scale. At first, you are going to blow past the 2. And you're not going to eat enough sometimes. This is a process. It is a long process. It is meant to be a long process. Because you're never going to be like, now I get it all the time. Never going to have a doubt ever again. No, you're not. You're going to get older. The hunger scale's purpose is not so that you understand 2 to 2. The hunger scale's ultimate purpose, its divine mission in the weight loss world, is for you to eat consciously. No more eating on autopilot. We are overweight when we eat on autopilot, when we're just eating because it's there, eating because it's 8 o'clock at night, eating because we're tired. We no longer are doing that. So when you're having to dial into your hunger scale, it is the tripwire that makes the bullshit come up so that you eat consciously. So ways to start dialing in that hunger scale so you start understanding more about why you're eating, if you're actually physically hungry, slow down. The best way to slow down, eat with non-dominant hand and put the fork down. Like, you really want to slow down? If you want a meal to last like Methuselah, put the fork down between every single bite and only eat with your non-dominant hand. I'm going to tell you right there, that is enough to make it be like, oh my God, I would never get through a meal. If you want to up it one more time, get chopsticks and eat with your non-dominant hand. You'll be like, oh my God, Corinne, every meal takes me 4 hours. And don't eat distracted. That doesn't mean that you eat by yourself. Here's the things to cut out first. No Facebook. No texting. No being on the phone. No working. No sitting around watching TV while you eat. If you really want to lose weight and figure out conscious eating, do some conscious work. Be willing to give up eating at with the TV for a little bit. Find all the times you eat alone. Nail non-distracted eating there first. Then when you're eating with other people, guys, the best way to eat undistracted is to put down your fork and actually listen to the conversation. A lot of people say, I can't eat consciously because I get distracted by my family. They're talking. I'm like, yeah. Well, if you're shoveling it in the whole time, you're not paying attention to them either. You can do it while other people are around. Guess what you do? You put your fork down, you look at them when they're eating. You actually know what they say. You don't take a bite while someone's talking. Hey, there's a novel concept. If you really want to eat undistracted, you can do it. But guys, I'm going to tell you, it feels like ass. Don't sit there and come in saying, I tried that, Corinne. It felt terrible. Like, yeah, it did. Because you're used to eating like an overweight person. Now we're going to eat like a person losing all their overweight. That's going to feel different until it feels normal. Practice mindful eating. This is what I was talking about. It's just harder than you think, and that's normal too. And it takes a lot of mistakes. But I'm going to tell you, all of that conscious effort you put into it, guys, you'll lose weight the entire time. You'll be making minor shifts that add up in weight loss. And so much of what I'm teaching you eventually becomes unconscious again. These new habits, these new mindful practices now become what you do unconsciously, and food starts becoming effortless. Water and sleep. Get used to water. You're human. Guys, don't bitch about it. I'm just going to tell you right now. I ain't got much to tell you other than get you some Mio drops, Crystal Light, post in the Facebook group. Everybody's got all their tips, tricks, and hacks, but you're a human being. You were designed to have water to function. I can't tell you how to get out of having water. The more you drink, the less hungry you'll be. The more you drink, the less food cravings you'll have. The more you drink, the more weight you'll lose, period. That's all I've got on water for you. We have talked about it 1,000 times. Get to where that urine is running pale yellow. I don't care if that's 64 ounces for you or a gallon for you. Get it up there. You can count your coffee. You can count your tea. That's fine. I just want you getting in some water. Sleep remedy, I'm going to just say, I do not promote much, and they don't give me a kickback, but this is in my Amazon store, and it's not cheap. So don't be going in there going, it's not, but I've got 2 boxes full because my husband and I refuse to go to sleep without it anymore. It is what we take at night. It has a little bit of melatonin, but it has enough, just enough, to where you don't wake up like an asshole in the morning, sleepy and groggy. Also has tryptophan in it. But it doesn't have so much melatonin in it that you get like addicted to, like, that's one of the problems with melatonin is like once you get over, I think it's either 2 or 3 milligrams, then your body can get like, not addicted, but like so used to it that it's hard to go to sleep without it. There's plenty of times I don't take it and I sleep just fine. But I take it every night because it serves 2 purposes. I get very deep sleep when I take it. I don't have restless sleep when I take it. It doesn't like knock me out. It just makes me have a slow ride down. It also has magnesium in it. So tryptophan, melatonin, and magnesium are like a triple punch on relaxing the body, relaxing the nerve endings for all of you who have anxiety and stuff. And magnesium will help those of you who have poop problems. Poop like a champ when I take it. And Betsy will swear to the sleep remedy because I don't remember where we were, but she had forgotten her Natural Calm, which is a lot cheaper than the other stuff I used to take that you drink. This sleep remedy is from the makers of Natural Calm. But we were someplace, I gave her that, and she the next morning she had like this big, Betsy's probably like, thank you for telling my poop story one more time, Corinne. She has this big healthy poop. She looks at me and she said, I want to know where you get that. She was like, that was amazing. And I want to start taking it. So a lot of people are now fans of Sleep Remedy. It's one of the few things that I'm just like, all right, this is one that I know works. Guys, if you want to get it, you can get it at my kit store. It's kit.com/fitandfat. Like I said, it's not cheap, but I love it. I just do. The other thing about sleep and water, get off Facebook and lay there bored as fuck. That's my best advice. When you are trying to become a good sleeper, and you wake up in the middle of the night, the best way to go back to sleep is to not give your brain a butt ton of stimulus. It wants to race because you've been conditioned to race it. The last thing it needs is you to fire up Facebook. You need to just lay there. And for about a week, you will be bored out of your mind. You will lay there and you will think, this is never going to work. I'm going to lay here for 3 hours. You're going to go through all of that. That is the currency of discomfort you will pay to teach your brain. It does not get rewarded for acting out in the middle of the night. It is no different than if you had a toddler that woke up every night at 1 a.m. and decided to go play drums with the pots and pans. If every single night you got up when he did it and you gave him a cookie for it, guess what? He'd get up every single night and have a party. But what do? You throw their ass back in bed. You make it really clear that we sleep through the night. Your brain's a big toddler trying to have a party in the kitchen with the pans playing drums, expecting a cookie on top of it. Like, give me Facebook too. I'll take all you can give me. You are the parent of your toddler brain. Our brains are like that. It's all unconscious and just doing shit, thinking this is great. Our conscious part of the brain, you, is the one that says, here's the rules, and this is what we do. And why I keep things simple, guys. This whole talk was about why. This is why it's all about 4 basics. Your brain is complicated. The process you use to figure out what you're going to eat today should not be complicated. All the other stuff is what we need to work on. Okay? All right, I'm going to answer questions now, and then we will do it. So if you have questions that I didn't answer in there, feel free, or if you got them answered in chat, that's great. I'm a newbie. I have a question about the 24-hour plan. I've been planning my food the evening before, but it's impossible to know how hungry I may be on a given day. Right. Nobody knows. Some days I seem to be more hungry and eat everything I planned. On other days, I do not eat everything. Am I planning incorrectly, or is it okay to plan but not eat everything? Perfect. We already answered it, but yes, that's exactly what you should be doing. I'm having problems with it, but I'm really trying to listen to my body and start when I'm truly hungry and stop when I'm satisfied. But I've been overeating my whole life and have to retrain my brain. That's all that's going on, Rosemary, is you just got to give yourself some time and compassion to retrain your brain. Just keep planning. If you're not hungry, you don't eat it. Pure and simple. Put it in the fridge, save it for tomorrow. Will I do this for each module? We're not going to, I kind of talked about this in the beginning. We're not going to do this particular thing for each module, because not all of them need like all of this. What we're doing this month is we're doing a lot of work just around the basics as you guys go through all of the modules, because all the modules after this layer in the mental work. But you're going to see in PNP, we are constantly reinforcing all five aspects of the no BS. We come through here and do them. Anytime you guys want to ask questions about any of them, come to all the Q&As and stuff. I talk about our concepts like it's a religion. You like, I promise you, there will be no shortage of it. Going to Australia for a week on Friday, been doing well, but worried I'm going to lose momentum. The only way you can lose momentum is by not acting. So if you go to Australia, I want you to think, I'm going to Australia. What is the easiest way to travel and eat 2 to 2 and write down a plan each day? I'd also take this, Missy, I'd go into the Facebook group and I would put, I'm going to Australia. What are your best travel tips for planning? We have girls that travel all the time. I travel all the time. I'm traveling this week. And all I'm doing is I'm bringing my 24-hour plan. I would be making a plan every single day. I will be making sure I eat 2 to 2. I also made a list for myself. I kind of made like my travel protocol. I was like, you know, I don't want to eat like out of bread baskets. I'm not an appetizer girl. Like I just started like laying out the things I wouldn't be doing on my trip. And then I laid in the things that I like all the foods I was going to allow myself, like steak and all the veggies, all the rices, all the potatoes. I put all that on there. I can eat any salad I want. I can have all the dressing I want, all the cheese I want, all that kind of stuff. That allowed me to come, that like just gives me that open mind framework. And then I know I'm going to carry water with me and I'm going to drink my coffee. One more time on the calendar. My calendar adjusts to Eastern time zone where I live. Also, can I subscribe to it for my Google calendar? Just couldn't figure that out. Yeah. If you just, I think it's iCal. If you hit the iCal button, that should subscribe to your Google calendar. If not, try the other one. There's only two options. We just try each one until you got it to your Google calendar. Lots of people do it. And I'd also ask in the Facebook group, a lot of people have been able to subscribe. So you might just want to say like, I'm doing it for my Google calendar. Did anybody else get it for Google? And what did you do? And they'll be able to walk you through it. And it does adjust to your time zone. As soon as I plan a meal, I want something different. Can I have a selection of 5 meals and choose from them as I go? Yep, you sure can. A lot of people do that for their dinners. That's what Kathy and Ken do. Like, well, I think they do it sometimes, but a lot of people do this. It's like they don't, their family doesn't quite know what they're going to want each night. So the mom will say like, all right, here are the 5 things we'll be having this week. And each night, just let me know which one you want. Office birthdays and events galore. How do I handle this on a monthly basis? You put them on your plan. Period. No more drama than that. Anything else you think after that, D, is your own drama. They can bring all the cupcakes and cakes. You've either planned for one or you didn't, and you're either hungry or not when you start. Period. Is there an issue if I'm not at -2 until later in the evening, say 8 or 9 p.m.? Should I stop eating by a certain time? No, there's no certain times. When I'm 80 years old, if it's 10 o'clock at night and I'm hungry, guess what 80-year-old Corinne does? She eats something healthy. She never worries that eating it, unless you have GERD or a medical reason why you shouldn't eat in, like right before bed because it disrupts your sleep pattern, then if that's when you're hungry, that's when you eat. Is there an issue if I'm not at a -2 until later in the evening, say 8 or 8 p.m.? Oh, I already answered that. Is it okay to eat only once a day, or am I thinking of all the old BS diets I've done? I don't normally eat one meal a day, but I'm having some gallbladder issues, which I know will resolve. Guys, your metabolisms are not going to tank. That is the oldest, most bullshitty advice that ever was. That like is like seriously from the 90s. Remember back when we did everything fat-free and it was like, oh my God, fat-free is the way to do it. And that was like in the 80s, and it took until about 2010 for us to drop that idea before we started understanding, oh, what? Healthy fats might be good. And then it only took 7 more years of talking about it before everybody got on the fat train. Same thing has happened with this metabolism thing. Oh my God, the thinnest people in the world are hunters and gatherers who don't eat like 6 times a day. We ain't hunting and gathering either. Why the fuck are we eating 6 times a day? Like, unless you're an Olympian, you don't need to be eating that much. You need to eat when you're hungry. You need to stop when you're satisfied. I promise you, you're not going to kill your metabolism. And your body is saying, I have gallbladder issues. You know what I need to do? I need to eat once a day so I can start resolving our gallbladder issues. Like, you have a fire to put out. The last thing you need to be worried about is, like, if your house is burning down, you don't go look at the flower bed at the next door neighbor and wonder if it needs to be watered. You can put your fire out. And that's what I want you focused on. Nicole, the past couple of days I've been very tempted to add up my calories at the end of the day to make sure I'm getting enough. I've been so conditioned to count calories that the urge is strong. Guys, that will be there. Your urge to count the calories will be there. Just don't give in to it. That's fine. Everyone experiences that because we are very, like, if you've been doing it for a long time, you will want to do it. It's just your brain going, oh my gosh, where's the math? It's like, we're not doing math anymore. You're fine. You just need to keep telling it, you're fine. We're not doing math anymore. We're good. You don't have to fight with that urge. You don't have to argue with your brain. You don't have to stop having that thought. You just have to stop doing the counting. That's all I want you to do, is just not count. Have you ever read The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck? Yes, I have. If there's a cuss word, if there's an F word, I probably have read it. The chapter on happiness comes from solving problems is exactly what you're talking about. Yeah, I have read that. I have read You Are a Badass. I mean, I've read all the books. If you go to the, if you do go to the kit store, kit.com/fitandfat, PHITNPHAT, every book that I have read that I loved is in there. And I'm pretty sure that one's in there too. I am wondering about energy level, mostly because I have had little in the past. What can I expect? I have to sit a lot in my job and have had trouble with sleepiness. Water. Lots of water. Do not fall into the idea that adding sugar or adding in a Snicker, no matter what their commercial is, all that kind of stuff is going to help you. That's just going to help you have sleepiness the next day at the same time. It's going to condition you to look for a sugar rush. Train your body to get sleepy and notice that it's not going to get a burst of energy. It has to rely on its own calories within itself to start digesting to give you the energy burst. But, you probably, like, because we're not doing some kind of drastic, we're changing it all overnight, and I'm asking you to prioritize your, one of the reasons I want you guys getting 7 to 9 hours of sleep is so that as you're eating healthier, you should start feeling more energy. People that usually don't feel energy are people that go on some kind of restricted diet where they cut out a lot of things that they were eating. Now, they usually cut out a lot of shit that they, you know, don't exactly give them long-term sustained energy, but if you cut it, you don't drink the water and you're not prioritizing the sleep, you'll feel like shit, extra shit. If you aren't hungry when you come home from work at 7, do you eat dinner? Maybe a small meal if it becomes too late into the night if you become hungry at 9. I would eat something small at 9 o'clock. Very often, like today, I didn't eat dinner. Well, I didn't even eat dinner. I had a late breakfast and then I didn't get hungry until, let's see, I ate right before Kathy and I podcasted and she got here at 11. So I ate at 11 and then I ate at probably 3:30 because I started getting hungry and I'm not going to be hungry for dinner. So I probably won't even eat dinner tonight. If I get done, I have a call right after this. If I get hungry for that one, I will eat something light. Like I have a salad planned. I'll eat a small salad. And sometimes even when I do this, like we keep cheese in the house, I'll just cut off a couple of slices of cheese and just eat that just to knock the hunger off. Yes, it's not planned. Like two slices of cheese isn't. But if I'm going to skip a salad, I just note, today I ate off plan. I had two slices of cheese because I wasn't hungry enough for a salad. So I just had this. And I don't eat cheese because I like cheese better. I eat it because it's like, I don't want to eat a salad. I don't want to like eat like even three bites of salad. I just want to have a little bit of this and be done and no drama around it. I didn't get overweight because I decided to eat a slice or two of cheese because I got hungry when I didn't eat dinner. That's what I want you guys thinking about. Even sometimes my plans, we work in the gray a lot, but you will always know when you're in the gray by questioning why you do it and what is the result it gets for you. Always be in that mindset. The more you get to where you're examining your reasons for why you do things and you like your reasons because they're going to lead you to long-term success, you're golden. When we are planning our meals, should we be putting down exact portions? No, I don't put down portions at all. I just make a portion and then I eat till I'm satisfied. Any tips on knowing when I'm really hungry versus when my stomach is just empty? When you're doing this in your planner, note your hunger signals. That's going to take time for you to note. I'd also ask these questions in the Facebook group because a lot of people have different hunger signals. I have been told that my hunger signals are very uncommon. Like I don't usually get stomach growls. I don't get stomach growls unless I'm like dying of hunger. I just get like a flattened feeling. If I wait until like my stomach's growling, like it's a long time all the time. And it's like, it goes from like, I start not feeling so good. I start like feeling really sluggish. For me, I know when I'm at a negative two is I feel just empty and I'm starting to get really tired. That's how I know that I'm hungry. I don't wait for stomach growls. Otherwise, I'm going to, like most days, wait until 7 o'clock at night. And I'm not going to be the kind of person that just eats once a day. I know for me, with my activity level, it takes me about 4 days of doing that, and then I crash and burn. I've never listened to my body this much. If I'm at a negative two in the evening because I mistakenly didn't plan enough food, should I stay hungry and chalk it up as a learning experience? You can do either way. You can do either way. You can either learn from it or you can do like I did and just say, I'm just going to eat this little bit. But if you're like saying a granola bar will do it, guys, you're not hungry. In the beginning, have very uninteresting options for if you're hungry, because then that will tell you, oh, I don't really want carrots. I don't really want broccoli. Yeah, you ain't hungry. You're interested in food right now. What module do you learn? The model, module 4. Does Sleep Remedy keep you asleep for a certain length of time, like 7 hours? No, it gets you through. What it does is it allows you to go through deeper sleep cycles more than anything. I filled out an Ask Coach from PNP. Will I get a response? My email. You'll go back to when you go to Ask Coaches, you'll click on recent answers 24 hours later, and you'll see the title of your question, and your answer will be there. How do I figure out that I'm actually hungry rather than it's time to eat? You're going to listen to your body's signals. So make sure, Trish, that you have listened to the lessons, because I talk about you're going to need to start identifying your body's signals of hunger. I initially fall asleep quickly, but my issue is staying asleep. I wake up in the middle of the night to pee, definitely drinking my water. Then I have difficulty getting back to sleep. I talked about that. Be bored is all get out. You've got to teach your body that when you go back to bed, you mean it. We're going back to bed. You may even want, I don't know if you want to try that Sleep Remedy, but you may even want to try that because it like allows me to be able to go to bed in the middle of the night and or go to pee in the middle of the night and still go back to sleep. I'm so used to just mindlessly eating when I'm trying to find my plus two. I am not sure if I'm still overeating. Slow down. Just keep slowing down. Keep putting in processes to slow down. Any ideas on how to keep my man happy with our current arrangement of whoever is cooking gets to decide? I'm worried I won't be hungry when dinner is ready, or I may be ravenous when I come home and he hasn't made dinner yet. If you're ravenous and he hasn't made dinner yet, I think that's, if this is going to, you got to decide, is our arrangement where he cooks one night, I cook another night, then that means you're trading, like just say, like, I'm willing to be really hungry. I'm also willing to know that just because I'm extra hungry, that that means I'm dining on my own stored calories. So I'm not going to die and I don't have to overeat because of it. That's just the way it is. And if you're not hungry, then you wait and you enjoy his company. Sounds like you guys really love each other. And that he would be okay with you saying, you know what, I'm going to wait a little while. I tell Chris all the time, like he'll say, like, you ready to eat dinner? I'm like, no. He's like, what, you care if I go ahead and eat? And I'm like, no. And sometimes I don't eat. And sometimes I do. We have just decided in my family that food is not that important. Like, we eat, but our relationships are what's really important in our family. Are you talking to me? Are you interested in my conversation? Do you like me? That's way more interesting than, you know, like, oh my gosh, did you know that I'm like eating a bowl of oatmeal and you're not sitting here with me eating too? We don't do that. How can you do butter coffee on the road? I buy packets. If you go to that kitstore.com and you go to supplements, you'll see the travel packets of the butter stuff. I don't blend it. Now, Betsy brings a frother, but I don't. I just stir it up and just drink it that way. It's not as delicious, but it's still pretty damn good. How should we approach the food scale in our 24-hour plan when we have an unexpected active day, like an unexpected hike? If you need to add food, you add it. But don't expect, because you have an active day, that you'll actually be hungry. When I trained for a marathon, I probably ate less on marathon training days than I did any other day, because when I was extra active, my body didn't want food. So I would just like not expect you to be hungry. I would just listen for when hunger comes. I work retail and I'm having a hard time getting my water in. Drink more water outside of your retail. That's the best advice I have for that. How do I know if I'm at my plus two? By using your sheets. And then every time you finish eating, note what you think. If this is your plus, like, what are you feeling? In your workbook, guys, if you go to No BS, go to the No BS Success Path, on the very first thing you see, it will say, click here to print your workbook. In there, I talk about plus two, and we give you like a sheet that has like different sensations and stuff for all the different numbers on the hunger scale. Betsy, will you type in the kit store into the comments, please? It's kit.com/PHITNPHAT. When does the shininess usually wear off? I'm loving this program so much, but I know I am. I'd like to have more awareness about this. Melody, you're going to love me. In module 3, I do a whole lesson called When the Shit Gets Real, and that's when the shininess wears off. I'm going to prepare you for it. Confused about what to do if I'm super hungry one night, but it's not on my plan and I need to practice commitment. There's no confusion. If you need to practice commitment, guess what you do? Boom, I'm going to be committed to this plan. I'm not going to eat. I'm going to be hungry. Might feel like ass, but I have decided I need to practice commitment. So that's what you do. No confusion. I feel like I don't care about losing since my 24-hour plan is whatever food I want. I would tell yourself, and that's the lie I tell myself. Here's what you can tell yourself. I obviously care somehow because I paid $289 to be here. I'm going to pay $49 a month to be here. Somewhere in me cares about this. Just because my food plan looks this way has nothing to do with whether I care if I lose weight or not. Your drama is beneath that. Your drama is, these foods won't help me lose weight. I must not care about weight loss. That's probably what's coming up for you. And I would just tell myself, I do care about my weight loss. Here's all the reasons why. Because I'm in PNP, because I'm sitting at this class at 7:15 on a Monday night listening to someone talk about food. Here's all the evidence of why I actually care. And this 24-hour plan and this food is me learning how to meet myself where I'm at because I care about where I'm going. Do I need to plan all my beverages every day? If I wind up having an extra coffee with milk and stevia in the afternoon, is that eating off plan? No, I don't consider that eating off plan. Sometimes I have an extra cup of coffee. If I don't know for sure what is going on for dinner, I've been putting something like protein, veggies, fat, small serving of carb in my plan. That's perfect. I find I'm gassy. Any tips? I've been tracking to see if it's a specific food, but haven't done, been doing it long enough. It's probably not a specific food. A lot of times when you start this, if you are trading in and eating a lot of fruits and vegetables, your body is going to be a little more gassy as it's going through. It could be like eggs. Look for your sulfur-based foods. Look up sulfur foods. Like, I have this salad that I love, but oh my God, Chris is just like, every night you are Tootie the Clown because it has eggs, two kinds of beans. Half the time I put them dried chickpeas on top of it, broccoli, and onions. By the end of the week, you have those three things that have been sitting in the salad for a week. Oh my God, the sulfur levels are outrageous. And it is like, every second, womp, womp. I mean, literally, I'm like one of those people, like, just pull my finger. Seriously, I could do it. And I'm not joking. So, you know, sometimes it's just that. But also, if you've been eating a bunch of, like, processed foods, and now you're moving over into a lot of, like, real food, it could be the die-off of the old shit in your colon, too. I know that's kind of gross, but that's, you know, of course, all of my fart talk is not gross, but, you know, the die-off is what's really gross. I've only had one meal per day for 10 to 12 days. I am just not hungry for dinner. I'm not getting hungry until between 3 and 5. I also have over 100 pounds to lose. Will this change? It could change, Jen. Right now, what your body is saying is you have plenty of extra calories. It's like all those times we were overeating, your body's like balancing it out. And then eventually what will happen is after it kind of gets through this phase, it might start giving you hunger and you don't freak out about that and say like, oh my God, I'm not going to lose weight because now I want to eat more than once a day. Like, no, my body will always tell me what it needs. It's going to tell me what it needs in order to lose the weight. If it's sending up a hunger signal, it's telling you, fuel me and let's move on and be the best version of us. It's 8 p.m. right now and I haven't eaten all day because I didn't think I was hungry. Am I missing my hunger signals? Am I truly not hungry? You just may not be hungry today. Guys, there are just some days you're not hungry. Yesterday, guess what? I didn't have my first meal until after 7 p.m. You know what I was doing yesterday? I was just working. It was a Sunday. I had calls. I had a life. I went outside and watched my son ride his bike a little bit. Like, I had shit to do. I just wasn't hungry. And then I finally got hungry. And so I ate dinner. And I didn't sit there going, oh my God, I wonder if there's something wrong. I'm only eating once a day today. Like, no. And there, you know what? There's some days I eat 4 times in a day. I wake up, boom, I have a growling stomach. I'll drink water in my coffee. It does not dissipate. Guess what I do? Today's the day that we're going to eat some breakfast. I'm going to eat a healthy breakfast. I'm going to note I'm eating off plan today. But why am I choosing it? I'm really hungry. Like, I'm actually hungry. I'm willing to eat something healthy. That's not a habit that I'm scared of creating. Why isn't everyone teaching this? It's so simple. Y'all don't tell anyone. Shit. I don't need competitions. You know why they're not teaching it? Because it is simple. I don't understand why we have to sell complexity, but for some people will buy complexity. Do you know how many people didn't join PNP? All because there wasn't a plan. Seriously. And I guarantee you in about 2 months, they're going to be regretting it. And they're going to not have learned this. They're not going to learn the important things about weight loss. You know what they're probably going to do? Blow up and then get back on Pinterest and try to find another one of those plans. They're going to order another shake kit. One of their friends is going to be losing weight like crazy, drinking shakes, like she's going to be doing that in 20 years. I've got this one friend, I swear to God, I follow on Instagram, and I just want to die. Every 4 months, it is like a religion. Hashtag hardcore green veggies. She does a cleanse every 4 months because she spends about a month and a half whooping it up and partying and gaining 15 or 20 pounds. And then she cleanses and does this thing, loses 15 or 20 pounds real fast. Then she goes back to not giving a fuck again. So she buys a kit. Like, I do not want to live my life that way. You know what I like to do? I like to just keep the weight off. I like to just keep it simple. I also like not having to spend a fuck ton of money all the time to drink bullshit made by somebody who promises me that all I got to do is be willing to be hangry for 3 weeks to lose some weight so then I can just rebound. And then she goes through mental drama. I watch it just over and over again. I'm like, girl, you're even friends with me. But I'm telling you, people in my life, they don't get it either. I don't get upset about it. I'm just like, everybody got to do them. They got to do their stuff. You know what we're doing in P&P? We doing us. That's what we're doing. All right, guys, that's it. Y'all have a good one. We are, like I already gave you the plan for the week in terms of like calls. If you will go to pnptribe.com, go to the middle of the page and you will see the training calendar for all the amazing things we have coming for you this week. I want to leave you with a really big piece of advice. I'll keep repeating it over and over again. We do have a lot of content, and I don't apologize for it. Y'all do not have to listen to every word that comes out of my mouth. You can listen for 15 minutes of this and get a nugget and run and lose some weight. I promise you. You are not missing anything if you don't check in that Facebook group but once a week and ask a question. You can lose the weight. I want you to use our resources. I want you to listen to what we say. Do the no BS. Do the worksheets. That's the two most important things you can be doing for yourself right now. Figuring out your mental shit around this weight loss. And you go at your own pace. We are done putting pressure on ourselves. We are done putting false expectations on ourselves. And I'm going to keep driving those messages home the entire time you're a member of PNP. So, no BS, worksheets. Listen to the things that make sense to you. Leave aside everything that doesn't. If you need anything, ask coaches, come on a Q&A call, or go to the Facebook group and ask. We are here for you. Trust me. We have got all the help you're going to need. Y'all have a good one. Good night, y'all.